You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research Disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a Senior Economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Martin Wetton, our Head of Fixed Income and Currency Strategy. And Martin, it's great to have you on today.
Thanks. It's great to be on for the first time from our group.
It is. And not only am I very happy to have you on, but the topic we are talking about today is something quite different. And it's a topic that's kind of been around for a little while, but is certainly gaining more traction in recent years, and in particular during COVID-19, and that is the topic of ESG bonds, environmental, social and governance bonds. Now, can you explain a little bit about what the components of this is and why it's become so popular?
Yeah, sure thing. So ESG, as you say, environmental, social and governance is what the acronym stands for, is a way that you can sort of apply a filter over the issuance of debt, but also equity for that matter. And it's a way that companies can look at the investments they make to make sure they are meeting certain criteria. And a lot of this has been driven by institutional investors putting their money to work and saying, we want to ensure that a company is not in our portfolio is not invested in some companies that might produce something like landmines or missiles. And so that's more of the negative side. But then what they've tried to do is turn that into, we want to ensure that the money invested goes towards an environmental cause. So that might be water retention or dam building. Social might be education in poorer countries. And governance might refer to ensuring that companies toe the line in an ethical way in the businesses that they're in themselves. So it's a filter that you put over investments. And it's become a pretty mainstream part of what fund managers do.
It is. And certainly we've seen that grow, I guess, in importance over the past decade or so. And you're seeing a lot more money managed internationally in relation to ESG issues, but it's also, I guess, what you're now saying is it's really been used to nudge companies and now governments to actually invest and use money in different ways. And that is certainly the trend that we've seen globally. And in particular, the focal point seems to have been Europe. What have we seen in terms of the trends in ESG bond issuance, in particular government issuance, because that is really your cup of tea recent years?
Yeah, for sure. Governments obviously borrow money to pay for the essential services that they offer their citizens, and they do that all the time. And a lot of what they do is, in a sense, in that ESG filter. You are borrowing to ensure that your citizens have food security, water resources, electricity, and so on. But there are parts of government that are finding that because of what they do as borrowers, they're being looked at by the investors themselves and saying, no, we're not so sure we'll lend that money to you. And an example of that is about a year ago in Sweden, the central bank there, which is an investor in global debt markets, particularly the government debt markets, basically said to Australia and Canada, we're not going to buy some of your state government bonds because you're very heavily involved in the fossil fuel industry, and therefore we don't want exposure to that. And so that's been a bit of a change that's happened. But broadly speaking, the governments have been a little slower in moving to this because they don't want to split their market up. When they're borrowing debt, they want to ensure that they just get the best price. And they are, as a very famous saying from the US debt markets is, they want to be regular and predictable. Mm-hmm. That is, that investors get no surprises when they buy their debt. But what you've seen is that Europe has been at the vanguard of both the investment side and then changing the way the governments issue. And we saw that recently where Germany, as a leader in, I guess, many social causes, perhaps, is a way to put it, they decided they would issue green debt. And they'd issue it at the same time as they issued normal debt, or what is now sometimes called brown debt. Maybe not the best colour, but that's what they call it. Now, what they did was they issued exactly the same bond, but in two formats. And whereas a few years ago it would have cost you more to borrow money under the green banner, it actually cost the German government less. And if you've been an investor buying them, you'd actually outperformed holding the green bond at that time or in the period since. So you're getting a demand for these securities that is far greater than the supply. And that nudge, as you put it, is something that's a really important, well, it's a very important term in economics, but it's a very important way that other borrowing authorities around the world will look at the opportunities for them as opposed to the costs for them and say, we can open ourselves to new markets if we borrow in under these formats.
It's fascinating to see that this is really, particularly the pricing of, we can call it a green versus brown bond, although like you, I'm not convinced on that terminology, but it is interesting that it's happened during COVID-19. So I guess one of the things we need to think about, is it COVID-19 that has really helped accelerate government bonds moving down the green path, or is it the fact that governments around the world, their debt levels are now starting to rise quite substantially, and we're seeing that here in Australia, that they do actually have to think about different ways of borrowing money, or is it tied together?
I think that's a very valid point to your final point, that they have to think about different ways they can borrow. They're not struggling for demand because, perversely, the amount of supply we've seen has actually been met and exceeded by supply. But they are understanding that the pandemic, which has been in every country, has given rise to this new amount of issuance. And many countries have said, in order to get ourselves out of this, we're going to need to do things differently. Mm. We will allow, as a government, funding, or as a central bank, will buy your bonds if you go down the path of greening your future growth. Now, green is just, I guess, the easy term, but the whole filter is ESG. Mm. And specifically there, I would say what Europe has done is said that they will borrow 30% of their money as the whole entity of the European Union under the ESG banner. Now, that's an extraordinary amount of money. That's over 200 billion euros that they are planning to borrow. And in fact, last week, they happened to issue their first deal, which was a 10-year and a 20-year bond. They were targeting 17 billion euros of debt. They got orders for 223 billion. In other words, the demand has far outstripped the supply. The money that they raised is going specifically for causes that will create jobs and pay for pandemic and ES and green related borrowing. So while the cost is similar but a little bit less than the regular issuance, you've almost created a new market for this and allowed yourself as a borrowing entity to I guess muscle in on any other deals that were going to come to the market, and you've found that money very quickly.
It's fascinating. If we just turn our attention to Australia, and I guess we're probably a little bit behind where we've seen Europe go, but with a huge amount of debt issuance in Australia in recent months and more expected, there have been some Australian states that have borrowed in this sector, including New South Wales just recently. Yeah. Is it easier for state governments to borrow in the ESG space, or why is it harder for the Commonwealth?
Sure, and that's a really good question, and I think it's one where the states have a little bit more of an advantage that the Commonwealth otherwise wouldn't. And that is that when they issue their debt, they're not a regular borrower as in the market each week like the Commonwealth government is. Commonwealth government currently borrows around $3.5 billion per week. They, as you said, have a lot to borrow. This year is $240 billion for the financial year. They're about halfway through that. The states, though, have typically been able to borrow for specific purposes. As you said, New South Wales borrowed last week, a deal that CBA was on. There's also been some deals from Victoria and Queensland. And they do that because they find that they get more investors and different investors. But in the end, the money that they raise goes towards quite specific projects. Whereas at the Commonwealth level, it's all for, you know, paying for tax cuts or paying for defence and so forth. Social security. So all the typical things that governments have to pay for. Although there's no doubt that they are asked, will you issue green debt? But for them, being regular and predictable is important. And in years gone by, they haven't had much to do.
No.
If we go back a year, this time last year when no one had ever heard of COVID-19, the issuance that the government was planning to do for this financial year that we're in now was minuscule. I mean, you were probably talking around $20 to $30 billion, and suddenly you're 10 times that. And of course, when you have more to borrow, going back to your earlier point, you can do it. You need to find new buyers. You can do it in different ways. So being able to borrow in green is not just something that will come about through the size of your program, but you also need that political will to allow that to happen and understand what that's going to mean.
And it sounds like with anything, and in particular in the corporate space as well, a lot of it is going to come from the investor side. So it's the push from the investors, be a push from probably citizens as well to further green Australia's bond market. And it certainly will be a fascinating development to watch, as will the current size of Australia's federal budget deficit and also the recovery through COVID-19. But it's certainly opened up in a way a positive development, COVID-19, to help, I guess, promote ESG issues.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think both companies are a bit more nimble, and they've been able to embrace that both on the equity side and the debt side and what they do. State governments have that little bit more flexibility, as mentioned, but obviously for a federal government, it's a little bit of a harder task for them. Then they also have their bodies like social housing in both Australia and New Zealand that we do issue debt. So we do issue some green debt. It's more under the Australian Commonwealth Government name. So, yeah, it will be a fascinating time to see how that market develops. And given the growth rate of around 15 to 20% per year in the amount of debt issued in the green format, you can only imagine it's a matter of time rather than if that we see Australia do the same thing.
It's been fascinating to talk to you today, Marty, and I look forward to further discussions around our ESG framework and what we can do in the future. Thanks for your time.
Thanks very much.
Now, you can read Martin Whedon's report on government bonds, Is It Time to Turn Green?, which was published on the 27th of October on combankresearch.com.au. And you can also find other reports we've written on ESG issues, including where does Australia fit into the world economy's carbon footprint, as well as introducing green monetary policy there as well.